so there's a real danger when we come to some very important passages of Scripture, or I should say familiar passages of Scripture, because they're all important. Just like last week when we came to an important passage of Scripture that's very familiar to us. Well, this week we come to a passage that we all know, and there's a danger. It's like a man who rides his bicycle every day past the Potalagong in Lhasa. After a while, you ride by it every day, you don't even look at it anymore. Or maybe like a woman who lives on top of Victoria Peak, such a beautiful view. People come from all over the world to see the view. But if you live there, then maybe you just don't really look at the view anymore. So there's a real danger with familiarity. Because we've seen it so many times, it tends to lose its brilliance, or it loses its radicalness, or its cutting edge. In a similar way, this passage of Scripture, very much like that. Let's pray together. Almighty God, Jesus said, apart from Him, we can do nothing. And that's very applicable to this morning. I myself need to know what it means to take up my cross and follow Jesus, to deny myself. So how can I accurately communicate this truth? I simply ask, God, that You would take Your Word and that Your Holy Spirit would speak straight into our hearts today. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we need God to help us see clearly and feel the weight of this passage. If you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 34. Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 34. I want to read it again to you. This is the Word of God. And calling the crowd to Him with His disciples, He said to them, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake and the Gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when He comes in the glory of His Father with the holy angels." So there's probably no more fundamental teaching as to what it means to follow Jesus Christ than this passage. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Jesus Himself says right here. And this is for everyone. This is not just for the disciples. It's not just for the Roman Christians that Mark is writing to. It's for all Christians at all time. Everywhere. Notice in the first part of the passage that Jesus calls the crowd to Himself on purpose to say, this is not just for My disciples. I'm going to call the crowds to Myself. I want everyone to hear this. The Christians in Rome who are suffering persecution, Mark is writing to, they need to hear this message. And we need to hear it too, no matter how much we have heard it before. If anyone would follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's exactly what it says. It's a little redundant. So the English translation says, if anyone would come after me, but actually what it says is, if anyone would follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Well, we don't like to speak that way in English, so they changed it a little bit to come after me. But he's saying, if you want to follow me, there's two things you need to do. You need to deny yourself, and you need to take up your cross. Then follow me. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean to follow Jesus by denying ourselves and taking up our cross? To deny ourselves. It means that our center of gravity shifts from ourselves to God. It's a radical shift in our identity. At root, to follow Jesus means a shift in our identity. Who we are as a person. Everything that we are, everything that we know, everything that we do is a total shift from ourselves to Jesus Christ. For Christians, we have a couple of verses in the Bible that will speak to us about this, like 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. You know this verse maybe. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. You're not your own. That's another way to say deny yourself. It means you don't belong to yourself anymore. Someone else bought you. You belong to someone else. You do what someone else tells you to do, not what you want to do. Or Colossians chapter 3, where the Scripture says, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Then he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So, same way to say deny yourself would be you're not your own, and another way to say it would be that you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. To deny ourselves means to surrender or to give up all that we are to Jesus Christ. To surrender all that we are to Jesus Christ. Our identity. So my name is Shannon Brown. That's my name. My parents gave me a name. But who I am as a person, I am to deny all of it, to follow Jesus Christ. Our goals, our dreams, our plans, the life we hope for, the standard of life we long for, standard of living we long for, the comfort we desire, the acceptance from others, the face that I want to have before other people, gone. To deny myself, for you to deny yourself, to surrender all to Jesus. Number one. To deny ourselves. Number two, he says to take up our cross. You know, not that we wish that people were being crucified today, but it would probably mean a lot more to us if we experienced people being crucified. The Romans crucified thousands of Jews. One Roman emperor alone crucified 2,000 Jews. So, it's an instrument of torture and execution devised by the Romans and others in a similar way by which a person suffered and was put to shame and lost their lives. The Jews to whom Jesus was speaking of knew all too well what he meant when he said the word cross. And this is the first time he says the word cross in the book of Mark. So it wasn't like he's been speaking about crosses all the time. He just says, take up your cross. They knew exactly what he meant. It meant to carry the beam on your shoulders and be led away to execution. And the Romans, to whom Mark was writing to, needed no explanation whatsoever of what a cross was. As John Piper says in his commentary on this passage, was helpful for me, what does a cross mean? It means, number one, opposition. Opposition. People are against you. They are opposed to you. You are an outcast. They crucified people outside the city. You didn't belong anymore. Opposition. Shame. They stripped the person naked, no clothes, and paraded them through town and then nailed them to a tree, a piece of wood, for everybody to see. Shame. This part of the world in Asia knows something about shame. You are publicly ridiculed and exposed to the worst form of embarrassment on a cross. Your worst nightmare. Suffering. None of us like pain. None of us like difficulty. None of us like people being against us. People not liking us. None of us like to be embarrassed. Jesus suffered on the cross. What he said is take up your cross was pain. Physical pain and torment. And ultimately, death. Death of self. Loss of life. So Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you need to deny yourself, your whole identity gone. You must surrender that and instead embrace a cross. Opposition, shame, suffering, and death that comes because you associate yourself with me. So don't miss that point. It's all because of Jesus and the gospel. It's because of Christ and the gospel. It's not just pain and suffering and opposition because of other things. But deny yourself and take up your cross and associate yourself with the man who went to the cross. So Jesus says, if you want to be accepted by the world, by the world's value system, then follow someone else. If you want to be honored by the values and the things that the world values and honors, then follow someone else. If you want comfort, the comfort of the world and the things that the world promises in this life, then follow someone else. If you want safety, promise of no difficulty, no opposition, no shame, no dishonoring, and no one's ever, never going to want to take your life because you follow me, then follow someone else. But if you want to follow me, then deny yourself and grab the beam of the cross and follow me on the road to Calvary. Well, that doesn't sound very good, does it? If that's the life with Christ, if that's what following Christ is like, then why should I follow Him? Why should I follow Jesus Christ? Because that doesn't sound like a very attractive life. Who would want that? Well, he gives us four reasons in the text. If you have your Bible, if you look at the text, in verse 35, verse 35, in verse 36, in verse 37, in verse 38, he gives us fours. F-O-R. Okay, suga, fours. He gives us four word fours, okay? And yet those are backing up why you should follow Jesus, why you should deny yourself, and why you should take up your cross, okay? So here's number one. Why should we follow Jesus? These are the reasons why Jesus gives we should follow Him. Number one, if we choose to say yes to ourselves, we choose the world, we reject Jesus Christ, then we will lose our life forever. But if we choose to say yes to Jesus and yes to the gospel, then we will save our life forever. Love Jesus. Not just say you love Jesus, but love Jesus and the gospel, and you'll live forever in eternity with Him. Or love self and love the things of the world, and you'll perish forever. It's that simple. So that's a good reason to follow Jesus, right? That's a pretty good reason to follow Jesus, that if you follow Jesus, you will have eternal life with Him. But if you don't follow Jesus, then you'll have eternal life apart from Him in a place called hell. So that's a good reason to follow Jesus. That's the reason that He gives, number one. Okay. So if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. Saving your life means following the world and not denying yourself and doing what you want to do and rejecting Him. Okay? Got that? So, number one. Number two, reason why Jesus says we should follow Him is to reject Christ so that you gain the whole world for a mere 70 chabadoa years, whatever, 70, 80, 90, however long you live, or so. So to gain the world in this life for this short amount of time and lose eternity is a terrible wager. It's a terrible wager. So if you look at verse 36, he says, "For what does it profit a man to gain profit, gain forfeit?" What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? He uses these words, economics or mathematics. He says it's stupid math and it's bad economics to trade 70 years in this world for an eternity somewhere else. So to forfeit eternity in order to have a small amount of time in this world to gain this world is stupid. It doesn't profit you. It doesn't gain you anything, and it is bad economics. It's a bad wager. Common sense. You want common sense from Jesus? He simply says, gaining me for an eternity is a lot better than gaining the world for a short few years on this planet. Another good reason why it's good to follow Jesus. Number three, because nothing is more important than your soul. Nothing is more important than your soul. Look in verse 37. For what can a man give in return for his soul? There is nothing more important than your soul. Your soul will spend eternity somewhere. Everybody lives forever somewhere. What can a man give in return for his soul? Nothing. It's the most valuable thing. So there's nothing more important than to make sure your soul is ready for eternity. It's a good reason to follow Jesus. to save your soul. Perhaps Luke chapter 16, a very famous passage, a parable, maybe it's a true story that Jesus gives. Luke chapter 19, it's not on the screen. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 25. Listen to this. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. You see the two lifestyles? The poor man died, and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water to cool my tongue. For I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish." That's a parable about choosing the world and its values and living whatever life you want to live and rejecting Christ and what you experience for eternity. Or a man who suffers in this life in this short period of time but has eternity in glory at Abraham's side. You see how important the soul is, and how little the things of this life mean. Life is a vapor. It's gone like that. What will we do with our soul? Good things to do. Good reasons to follow Jesus so we don't perish. We don't lose our soul. Lastly, in verse 38, number 4, in verse 38, it says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Number 4, if we are proud to know Jesus now in this life, he will be proud to know us forever. What we do with Jesus in this life will affect our eternity. If we are proud to know Jesus in this life, he will be proud to know us forever and ever. That's a good reason to follow Jesus. Well, we could say it this way. If we confess, so other Gospels would say it this way, if we confess with our mouth Jesus, he will confess us then. If we acknowledge Jesus now, he will acknowledge us then. He will be proud to confess that he knows us. He will be proud to acknowledge us if we acknowledge him here on this earth. Or, if we are ashamed of him now, he will be ashamed of us then. That's what the Bible says. We could say it like this. If we choose to try and gain the world and the approval of this sinful and adulterous generation, we promote self and not deny self and ignore Jesus and the gospel, then the Son of Man will say to us, depart from me, I never knew you. That's a good reason to follow Jesus. Short little life that we have here, what will we do with it? Will we deny ourselves and take up our cross and associate ourselves with this crucified Savior? Or will we choose self or the world? Which will we choose? It's the ultimate question of life. Which will you choose? They are opposed to each other. The world's value system and what the world cares about is opposed to what Jesus Christ is about. We are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. Let's bow our heads together and pray. As you have bowed your head and closed your eyes, just want to make this statement. Rededication to following Jesus is something we do every day. It's not a one-time thing where we say, you know what, I've decided to rededicate my life. We rededicate to deny ourselves and take up our cross to follow Jesus daily. One of the Gospels says, take up your cross daily and follow Him. Would you just in your seat right now spend a few seconds rededicating your heart to the Lord to deny yourself, take up His cross? There may be some of you in here today who have never decided to follow Jesus. Today is the day to save your soul by surrendering to Christ. Your eternity depends on it. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, pray that You would take Your Word, let it sink in. Let it sink in all the way down to our bones. Grant us faith to live a life where we deny ourselves daily and we bear the reproach, people not liking us, people not honoring us, people embarrassing, feeling embarrassed. Help us to associate ourselves with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, afresh and anew today. And I pray that You would, by Your Spirit, God, do surgery on us. We might know what it means to follow You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.